Welcome to part two of our conversation with Sam Beltrusis about the demons of Lizzie Borden. After the Lizzie Borden case and all that, obviously, that was many, many years ago, and there's been many generations that have come since. And seemingly, when we look back at the, you know, the history here, the documented history of Lizzie Borden and Eliza and all of that, we see the chaos and the darkness and the horrible things that have happened. But my question was, has it continued on since? You know, we just really haven't connected the dots, and it sounds like you kind of done some research and others have done some research along the lineage. And yes, in fact, it has.
Yeah, I mean, like that was the question that the producers asked me there, because I knew about Eliza. I knew about the Sarah Maria Cornell actually was shocking to me, because I've written about that case too. Mm-hmm. The Innocent Cornell case, so basically Thomas Cornell murdering his mother, Rebecca Briggs Cornell. And to kind of give you an idea of that story, so John Briggs, who was Rebecca Briggs's brother, had a ghost visitation from Rebecca saying that Thomas killed her. So it was actually spectral evidence was used to actually accuse and execute an innocent man. And this is before the Salem witch trials. But yeah, I mean, there are people that blew me away. I mean, there's more. It's not just Eileen Wuornos. It's not just Marilyn Monroe. There's more. And they're all women.
Yeah. It's so interesting. Let's talk about the idea here of this entity that was in the house. I know a name came across. I know Dave said it on camera, which I was kind of like cringing about. I'm like, I don't like hearing those names being said on television or on the radio.
Yeah,
like I just avoid it. But the idea of this, that it sounds like you guys did kind of get, I mean, with the EVPs, at least what we saw on the doc was there were some dark things that were coming through. Was that a majority of what you guys were experiencing when you were getting communication? Or were there anything beyond the dark things that were coming through?
Yeah, so like I've been to that house multiple times, and I would say that there was something hissing in the basement. Like there was always there was darkness like lurking in the shadows, but I never experienced it face to face. I feel like that whatever we confronted, I'm not going to say the name either, but it starts with an A. Mm-hmm. It has many faces. So I think and it also has many locations. So it's not just at that house, it's at other locations too.
Yeah.
I do think that it chose me. I think it chose Dave Schrader. I think it chose Chris Fleming. Lou Ann Jolly is the one that is local, and she kind of had the ties before too. But I really feel like that we were called to this case, and we weren't combating the ghost of Lizzie Borden. We were combating darkness.
Yeah.
And to give you an idea, like I was working on another project when I got the call for this, and I was, you know, I was supposed to be on set of another show, and because they were based in Canada, they were like, well, right now we have to put the show on hold, do this other show. And I'm like, what's the other show? And it's like Lizzie Borden. I'm like, oh God. as soon as I got the call though, I started waking up 3:15 every night leading up to this. It was almost like I was being prepped for something horrific. I would have the dream started coming back to me. And so I was connecting to this case again on a really deep, dark level. And I knew I was about to combat darkness, I've been friends with Dave Schrader for a long time, mm-hmm. but I've never worked with Chris Fleming. So I didn't know what to expect with him. And what we did is we basically confronted like extreme darkness. And so it started off, I walked in, I was supposed to be a talking head. So I was supposed to be the person that talks about the murders in 1892,
yeah.
also the family lineage. And then I sit on the couch and Chris is right behind me and I start, I'm like, Dave, I'm about to channel. And he's like, okay, let me get my tape recorder, Sam. And I'm like, I am not ready for this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, It wasn't planned. Like, that was not a planned channeling session. It just kind of happened. Mm-hmm. And I will give props to the producers for allowing that to happen. I think that they had an idea going in. It was going to be Lizzie Borden 2.0. I think that they wanted to do something different, but I don't think that they knew it was going to go in the direction that it went into. And they let us go there.
Yeah.
And the spirit were guiding us in this direction. And I will say, like, the seance, and not to give too much away because I want people to watch the show, but the seance really, when I was sitting there, I like, and things were unfolding, like, there was so much more that happened during the seance. There was so much more that happened in the woods that was terrifying to me. I mean, it's taken me months to recover from this case. So I, we've faced retaliation after. I mean, like, what happened in that seance was, it seemed like we kind of, like, we, you know, we combated darkness and we won, and, like, everybody, the spirits crossed and everybody was happy. But I, you know, both myself and Chris Fleming dealt with the entity that we kind of, like, pushed to the corner, you know, like, get out of our way. And we were faced retaliation months after that. So it's been an ongoing hell, I guess you would say, after this mm-hmm. case.
What sort of retaliation have you guys experienced?
So for me, it's been different. So what's happening is, it was actually going after people that we loved. So I was sitting on the couch, Chris goes outside, and his dad, who passed, his name's Reggie, and I'd never met his dad, I didn't know his whole backstory, walks into the room, and he says, "Sam, there's something, you know, Chris, like, Chris needs to go home." And he's like, "I'm here for him and I love him, but there's a family member that's sick that needs his help." Well, it turns out his mother was on the floor. She must have hurt her hip or something happened, and his mother was actually on the floor for 3 days.
Oh my God.
While we were filming. Yeah. And if he didn't call her to check on her after that, then it would have been horrible.
Yeah.
So what we did after was, we actually called our family members, and it was very emotional.
Yeah.
Because I felt like people that we loved, like, were getting attacked, and we were kind of, like, trying to combat this darkness.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they, you know, like, looking at the show, I mean, I'm very proud of the show, but I don't know if they really captured the terror that we were facing while we were doing this. And so the idea that our family was make it hurt, you know, because of what we were trying to do, was just mortifying. But what happened to me after, you know, I actually had a situation where, so my attack was, you know, there was someone that I was working with that just kind of turned on me all of a sudden and like, tried to sue me. Like, it was horrible. Mm-hmm. And it happened the same week of what this was. So everyone, I guess, got attacked in different ways.
Yeah.
And then I had a situation where at the 3 weeks after the seance, I'm sitting in bed, and I was in bed, and I was dreaming actually about investigating the house, and I hear a voice that says, Sam, wake up. And I wake up, and there's this thing with long black fingernails, and and I told this to producers, and they actually kind of captured what it looked like in one of the shots and the recreation. Its hand was over my mouth, covering my mouth, and it had, like, long fingernails. I could feel the fingernails in my cheek, and I'm like, "Get off of me!" And so I run out, and I start praying. I ask for Archangel Michael to protect me. I reach out to my shaman friend, Michael Robichaud, and what's weird is, the entity actually went from me to my radio show co-host, Joni Mahan, who also has had an attachment too, and she had to kind of deal with this thing. And Chris was getting attacked. He wasn't getting attacked. I guess he's protected, but his partner was getting attacked. So his girlfriend, like, basically was seeing all sorts of things, like animals being decapitated, like, it's horrible things. And his mother, of course. And it says in the show that his mother recovered right after the seance. That didn't happen. It took her 3 months to recover, like, months to recover after that.
Wow. I know there was that moment where, you know, you all had kind of realized this kind of got darker than I think a lot of you thought it would. And David even said, you know, in kind of an emotional moment, like, do we want to keep going, you know, with this? I mean,
yeah.
If you had to go back to that moment, you know, retrospectively, would you have kept going?
I wouldn't have changed a thing. I think I was there for a reason. And yeah. I think that what I experienced, really, it was such a personal thing, and having a camera chronicle like what happened was really weird. But I will say that I would do it again. I think that what we did was what we were supposed to do. Having the family, and even though there was a lot of darkness, and I will say at the seance, and they didn't really go into this, but when Luann was under, so like the Dave was automatic writing, and I strongly feel like he was connecting with a slither of Lizzie Borden, like I call it crazy Lizzie. So the part that may have broken off and still lingers in the house, mm-hmm. he was channeling that. But then there's Luann, who I am clairvoyant. So when she had the pen in her hand, I saw claws come out of her hand. And then, you know, the table was shaking like violently while this was going on. And I kept getting from Luann, like she was going to kill me with a pen. And I'm like, let's get the pen out of her hand.
Yeah.
So like she was taken over by whatever that darkness was. She was being taken over, and I was going to try to bind it. And Chris stops me and like talks to her and like, look at me. And that's when we took care of that darkness that Luann, I mean, unfortunately was the one taken over by the darkness. And what that did though, is it opened up, we were able to deal with the entity that I baited to the table, actually, kind of bind it for a moment so we can cross over the spirits. And that to me was why I was there. I was there to give closure. And the thing that, and I'm going to start crying about this because it's beautiful. Eliza walks into the room and I'm like, oh, it's Eliza. And she like walks into the room and I can see her. And she was holding up her children to the light. So we built this beam of light going to heaven, which to me, I mean, I don't cross over spirits. Like that was one of the first times that I've done that.
Yeah.
And it was such a beautiful experience to do that with Chris Fleming. And she's holding up her children up to the light. And you can see there was an infant and there was a boy holder. And then there was a girl, another girl too. And the infant, you could see like literally her holding it up, almost like she was sacrificing herself for her children. It was beautiful to see that, and it was beautiful to know that she kind of got post-mortem redemption for what she did. But I'm just that moment alone was just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like there was so much of this that, you know, you went into, and it became so much greater than what you were expecting. You know, you've been involved in a lot of different projects and things like that, where you go in and like you said, you know, you're the talking head, and you know the drill. It can be fairly the same on many, many shoots. But did this really kind of take you by surprise, just the depth that it went to?
It did take me by surprise, but looking back on it, this show changed my life, and it really did change my life. I think I was able to do things that I've never done before, like deep channel, and do it safely, where I was able to push out Eliza after, which I wasn't able to do before. I think crossing over spirits was something that I've now know how to do. And that's because I worked with one of the best in the business, Chris Fleming. Mm-hmm. I didn't know much about Chris, except for he was on Psychic Kids and he mentored kids, for years. And he was also, I didn't really know much about him. And he actually served as a mentor for my gifts and amplified my gifts while we were filming. Mm-hmm. So that experience alone was worth it. Now I can say that I know how to cross spirits, and I learned how to do that by the hard way, but I learned how to do it. And that was, it was such a beautiful thing to share and to be a part of. And I will say that the team, like us together, we're going to be close for the rest of our lives. I mean, like we went through hell together.
Yeah.
And I already consider Dave like a brother. I consider Chris like a brother, mm-hmm. and Luann like a sister. I just, something about going to hell and back, you bond through trauma, and like that friendship, was worth it by experiencing this.
And that's got to be watching Dave have that experience, you know, as a fellow, you know, podcaster and host like he is. That to me was like, oh, my God. It was like when you're in that role, oftentimes, you know, we don't do that part. We're not the one that's being taken over.
He wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was just kind of watching. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, this his reaction was so authentic because it was real of just like, I don't like this. What is this? What's going on? And I mean, that had to have, you know, really, obviously he'd be able to speak to, but you were right there too. I mean, that had to have been really quite a moving experience and one that would, you know, kind of change your way of thinking in life to, you know, actually have it happen to you, not just talk to people about it.
Yeah, I mean, talking to all of us, I mean, we've talked multiple times after, and and now that we've gone through this, like I talk to Dave often, and it did change. I mean, I remember like while he was being taken over, he was fighting it. So if he wouldn't have fought it so hard, it would have flowed. He wouldn't have been affected as much as he was affected. I would say that because of my empathy, I was contorting with Dave. So they didn't really show that while he was being lifted, like I was being lifted too. Mm-hmm. And that's because I felt it. I felt the pain in my back. We had physical, Dave was in pain. The following day, he's like, Sam, my back is killing me.
Yeah.
From that. So, but we also had psychological, after that, like it really did. I would say that it opened my, like, I felt like that there was a calling for light workers to combat darkness. And I think that this was sort of like, this was something that was the foreshadowing what's to come for me. And that terrifies me.
Sure.
it's like, why me? Why am I supposed to do this? And I think this is like one of many cases. I think Dave has changed. Looking at him now, he's always been a skeptic. I mean, mm-hmm. He's always been the guy that was been skeptical. I mean, I've been on his radio show before and he was like, well, Sam, what do you mean channeling? You know, he would always kind of question, things that I experienced. And now that he's seen it for himself, mm-hmm. he can't question me.
He's got a better understanding. You know, like, yeah. I mean, it's like once you know that, you know, it's like once you ride a bike, now you know how to ride a bike. It's not like, what do you mean you balance? It's like, well, once you do it, you get it. And so I totally understand that. Let me ask you this. I mean, obviously that was a dramatic seance filmed, which, you know, I mean, how was the crew reacting to all this, you know, once things wrapped? I mean, I've done TV too, and it's usually like producers going, do that again. Now say it this way now. I can't imagine that's, you could do that in that sort of a setting. It was probably more like, let's roll tape and see what happens.
Yeah, it was like let's roll tape. I think that for example, there was stuff that a lot of stuff that wasn't captured on camera.
Yeah.
Like we would hear, like we heard a baby crying, the table was shaking violently. I think that the camera people, like they were in the room, but there was other things in the room too. And like people were watch the show and they're like, is that a cameraman or is that like a dark entity circling sure. around you?
Yeah.
I was actually like they didn't show this, but I was doing a crystal shield of protection mm-hmm. for the crew because the crew was getting affected while this was going down too. There was one gentleman that was like taken over while we were doing this, and I was worried about him. So I did like a grounding with him after. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like they were like they did roll camera at the end. They were like, okay, so now shoot a promotion, and they're like, we were sitting there, we just went through hell, and like shooting like a commercial for the show yeah. like after, and like hi, I'm Sam Baltrusa, said, you know, you got to check out what happened at, you know, it just was so, it was like that one part, like filming a commercial, like right after that yeah. was just like not cool.
Exactly. But the network's like, we need promos, please. They got to say it just like this. You know?
No. And I was sitting there and I'm like, we were all looking at each other like, are you kidding me? Like you want us to do a promo for the show, like right after going through hell. And also too, we had like there were things that happened. So like Chris and I were in the room before the seance, kind of like I guess like setting setting the intention, but also kind of doing prayers. He's very Catholic. And so like we wanted to make sure that that we were safe, and I wanted to make sure that we were safe too. I tend to use, I was raised Catholic, but I also use Wiccan stuff too. So I was building up a crystal shield of protection, in the room. But while we were doing that, there was like this black cloud of darkness, like hovering over the bed, like a rain cloud. And I'm like, oh my God. Like we physically saw the darkness. Like we physically saw it. And we were just like, I'm like, Chris, we're about to go through hell. And he knew it. I really, like, looking back on it, I really think that Luann, was in over her head with this. I think that she wanted to kill me. I mean, well, she was taken over by the entity. So it proved what we were trying to say in the show, that people can get taken over and kill people. But idea of like holding a hand of someone that was like, that wanted to kill me was like not a good thing. You know, it wasn't a fun thing.
Sure. Do you feel that at the end of this entity, the specific one that seems to have, you know, tormented, you know, members of your family, you know, from back then, the Bordens. Do you feel that it's been eradicated from the property, or is it still there, maybe tampered down? What's your thoughts?
Well, I think whatever. So there are layers. So there, like this curse, it's almost like we got like the first level of the onion, like, you know, taken care of, but there's many other layers to the onion that we still have to combat. I think that the one that was, that visited me while I was sleeping and retaliated against me was definitely something that we eradicated, but that I had to eradicate that entity with the help of a shaman. But that's one of many. And as we've just kind of brushed the surface of what we were dealing with, I think that we were dealing with, you know, an entity that does have many faces, and it does take many shapes. And I think that, you know, like, what was that entity there in 1892? I think so. But I also think that, like, by going to the house and investigating it over and over and over again, it's almost like giving it energy. So it was very powerful, the thing that we combated. But I also think that, I don't know if you know this, but there's new owners of the house, and there was a desperation from the spirit realm to be crossed over. So I think that they knew that, and they knew that change was about to happen. And I think that they wanted out. And, as we saw, like, so there was the new owners that purchased the house a few months after we filmed, and they also, so Leanne, who was the owner of the house, the co-owner of the house, she passed with her cat Max right on the same day as the house changed ownership.
Oh, wow.
So I think that the spirits knew that there was change happening at the house, and they wanted out. They were being held back by this entity. And we saw that with the children. We saw that with the adults. And also too, when we were crossing over spirits, it wasn't just one or two people. It was about 60 people. So that's the part they didn't show. When Chris and I were crossing over spirits, it was like, the whole neighborhood came to visit. And they were like lined up behind me, and we were like pushing them through to the light. So this was like a mass crossing that happened in that house.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Sam Beltrusis about the demons of Lizzie Borden. A big thank you to him for sharing his experiences with us on the program today. And thank you for listening and keeping us on the air. Without your support, we would not exist. Until next time for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.